We have been following a story, many of us, since late last night, and many of our colleagues have been living it. I want to bring in John Peck, one of our colleagues at WBUR, our mother station here in Boston. He lives in the Watertown neighborhood where the shootout with the two Boston Marathon bomb suspects, who have now also become suspects in the ambushing of an MIT policeman last night, an armed robbery at a 7-Eleven, a wild car chase and car hijacking, which ended up in the Watertown neighborhood that Jonathan Peck lives in. John, in your home still under lockdown still?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable going outside, even though I don't see any police. You know, one of the first times today, I don't see any police in direct line of sight from my particular home. I absolutely would not consider going outside, though.
Yeah, well, that good idea. Tell us what happened. What did happen about, I think, 12:45 this morning?
Yeah, 12:45 this morning. You know, I'm sleeping peacefully, and we hear what sounds like fireworks, which is not strange for this neighborhood. We you know, often hear fireworks when the kids sneak into the little park across the street. And there was a big boom following a bunch of pops, and that sounded really loud and really close, but we're figuring, hey, that's just the big one, they let it off. But the popping continued, and it was sporadic, and it sounded just like gunfire, and there was another two explosions and a ton of gunfire. We ran down to our basement and listened to this gunfight unfold. I had called the police about what sounded like fireworks, and they said that they were already on it. So by the time we get down in our basement, we're hearing gunfire and police sirens and yelling, and then a monster explosion,
Then
gunfire after that.
Well, John, we have some of that sound. Of course, a lot of people had their iPhones out, cell phones out. Let's listen.
Not me.
Yeah, let's listen. John, this goes on, and as you said, there were explosions. When did you actually speak with law enforcement officials?
Oh, the night is a little bit of a haze at this point, Robin. That was 12:45, so we had several teams of, like, SWAT kind of special forces-looking guys come through in a variety of different uniforms. Some were in camo, some were in black uniforms. You could kind of, it seemed like there was a little bit of an interdepartmental thing going on because some of them had FBI, some of them literally said SWAT, and others were unmarked. And they came in, multiple teams came in, I would say, starting around 1:32. Certainly we had police on the scene, you know, there were sirens everywhere. We didn't come up from our basement for a while, and when we did came up very, very slowly and very, very leery. And our upstairs neighbor, who in our upstairs apartment, decided to come down to the basement and join us. So we're cautious, and there were police presence, you know, consistently since then. There's been a lot of activity during this day, helicopters, massive vehicles going this way and that. You know, pretty much all throughout the day. And they seem to be gathering evidence on my street, too, at different times.
Did they ever ask you, as we've heard in other situations, did they ever ask you to go outside so that they would go in and check?
They did not come into my house. The first Special Forces guy I spoke to saw me in my window and flagged me out and then asked me if anyone was in the house and then pulled me aside after I said no and said, seriously, is anyone in there? Let us know. Any sign? And I said, no, of course not. No one's came in my house, but the house immediately behind me had about 20 ATF agents in it at one point, including what looked like a bomb-sniffing robot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when I was driving to work much earlier this morning, a policeman, I pulled up a light, and a policeman came up and asked me if I was okay and then asked me if he could please look in the car. You know, the thinking being that maybe somebody was being taken hostage, there might be another carjacking. So, John, you have been telling us over the course of, you know, the last 12 hours of looking out and seeing, you know, heavily armed, machine gun armed troops on the street, as others in Watertown have been saying. You're saying right now you're feeling it's calmed down a bit. Are you talking to other neighbors, or do you have any phone chains or anything like that?
Yeah, I've spoken to a couple different folks in the neighborhood, but not, frankly, too much. Mostly been on the phone with friends and family and that sort of thing. You know, right now it's pretty calm. There's, you know, it seems like some minor evidence gathering or at least perusing happening on my street rather than, you know, heavy kind of SWAT search teams.
We'll stay safe.
Thank you very much, Robin. Frankly, we feel safe with the amazing law enforcement folks who are out here. I really feel like they're protecting my family, and I trust in them, and we feel safe because of that.
Jonathan Peck, one of our colleagues at WBUR and someone who lives in the Watertown neighborhood where a wild gun shootout occurred last night. John, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
Let's bring in David Boeri, WBUR and Here and Now reporter. David, you've been following the investigation. You were telling us earlier about controlled explosions near the home of the brothers, the suspects. Again, Johar Zanayev, who's still on the loose, 19 years old. His brother, Tamerlan Zanayev, has been killed in one of those shootouts. What's the latest? What are you hearing?
So we're still we have been watching this scene on Norfolk Street, and they're obviously doing a thorough search of the house.
This is Norfolk Street in Cambridge, where the suspects lived.
Norfolk Street in Cambridge. That's right. They're doing a thorough search of the house. It's the road's blocked off. They continue to keep a large area around blocks around that street closed as well. The neighbors are all out of there. They've been told to leave. They were told that at 7 o'clock this morning when the first police officers arrived. And so they're gone. Mm-hmm. Those people had lots of stories, though, and lots of information about the brothers and the family that lived there.
And what are you hearing? Because we've heard quite a bit about Johar. I keep saying that. I'm sorry, Johar, who you know, many of us, including myself, knew as a likable, sociable, well-liked, not at all a loner young man. His brother, on the other hand, we were hearing that he had YouTube videos about jihadists. Those have since been pulled down. We're hearing anecdotally people from Cambridge saying that they used to see him at Angelo's Pizza Parlor across the street from the high school, delivering some sort of political rant. What more are you hearing from the 26-year-old brother who's now dead?
Well, he also appears to have had a police record. There was an assault and battery charge. According to neighbors, he had a volatile relationship with the woman he was with. We don't know whether that was his wife or not, but he had a child with that woman. And so there was a domestic at the time that brought people out. In addition, and that family, because the parents were there, and it would seem from neighbors that the parents, that family was there at least as early as 2005, if not earlier.
Yeah, we're hearing 2001. David, I just want to say, you spoke with a mechanic who repaired the suspect's car this week. He said he saw the surveillance images of Johar last night. Let's listen to his thoughts.
You know, I say this guy looks familiar. Because I wasn't sure.
Anything in the last couple of days, the last couple of weeks, that struck you as strange about them or what was going on?
I'm saying on Tuesday, this Tuesday, he came and picked up the Mercedes without being finished.
Again, a mechanic. And by the way,
let's make it clear. Let's make it clearer, if we can, Robin.
Please.
So he brought a car to a body shop a couple of weeks ago. And he came for it on Tuesday. It wasn't ready, and he insisted on taking it, even though the auto body shop hadn't done any of the work yet.
Well, David Boeri, I have to just say that, and now Connecticut State Police say they are looking for a 1999 Honda with Massachusetts registration number 116GC7. Again, people are being asked to look for a gray Honda CRV earlier, but that car has been recovered. They're now looking for this green Honda Civic. 116GC7. Do not go near it. Call officials. David, we will continue this coverage here in Boston. We say goodbye to our listeners across the country. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston and the BBC. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again and follow this story at WBUR.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.